What's up, everybody? Basketball season's here. Got my guy Andrew Delaney on, basketball coach extraordinaire.
Thanks for having me, kiddo.
I know, dude. Long time no talk. I haven't seen you since the Sox game.
I know, right? It's been a minute. I'm glad to come back on the show now and chop it up with basketball. Words of wisdom.
I know. Getting the expertise. So just exactly. To kick it off, I didn't watch much of the FIBA World Cup, but I thought it was pretty cool that the core four of the Celtics were all on there together, and Kemba kind of got acquainted to the team. Do you think that'll be a big factor heading into the season? Like, is that going to matter?
Yeah, I mean, I think it shows some importance. You know, you're with guys all across the world for a couple months. It's pretty rigorous. You get to know a little bit about each other. I think the most important part of it, too, is, you know, after the storyline of Kyrie leaving, you know, it's just Kemba assuring himself, you know, of what role he's stepping into and how can he interact with, you know, not only JT, Jalen, and Marcus Smart, but how will he fit in when it's time to come back, you know, now with the rest of the team. And I think that still matters. And especially with those four guys, it was a big help. But now it's all about, you know, interlocking it now with Gordon Hayward and the rest of the team. So it definitely helps. I think it's kind of cool, too, how today it was pretty much – a different side of Team USA basketball as far as you can see. You know, you had De'Aaron Fox for a little bit, but you had Kuzma and Mitchell. So it was a new wave of, I guess you can think of, new NBA superstars coming in the league. And, you know, a bunch of storylines this year, how will they team up? But it was definitely a high importance for Kemba and the rest of the Celtics to step in and be acquainted with each other.
Yeah, it was cool to see, like, he was the man some nights. And he wasn't the man some nights. And that was pretty cool. Like, it was cool to see that, like, he knows how to step in and step out of that closer role.
Exactly.
And I think that's what they needed a lot. Like, last year with Kyrie, they didn't really – like, he was always the closer. But I feel like it's not going to be that way every night this season.
No, it would be more Spurs-esque basketball as far as moving the ball around and finishing as a team instead of individual highlights tonight or this year, I mean.
Exactly. I feel like that's exactly what Brad Stevens has always wanted. That's always what his teams have been about, but they're always centered around a point guard.
Right.
Hence Kemba,
right.
Kyrie, IT. And now that the season's almost here and getting closer, what do you expect from them? Where do you think they're going to end up? You still think they're at the top of the Eastern Conference, middle of the pack?
Of course. I mean, they still have the roster to compete as far as a top four team. I feel like they'll definitely have home court advantage in the first round. But I mean, every year it's a new story. So who knows? They might go in the year, you know, with some bad games. They might have a bad stretch. But I expect overall it to be very well for the Celtics. I think they'll have a good winning streak, you know, beat teams that they need to beat. They'll beat the tough teams, too. They'll win some games on the road. I think they'll be a top three team and be a force to reckon with come playoff time.
I agree. The same thing. I think people were just so hyperbolic with, like, Kyrie's not there. Now Kemba steps in, and they're like, he's a worse version of Kyrie. And it's like, is he really? I mean, he knows how to play and he wants to be there. So I just think that factor in it. I think I just don't see them taking any steps back from last year.
You know, right.
Not like last year was incredible.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah.
Yeah, they weren't phenomenal to begin with. So I can't see them taking a step back like everybody. Like people were saying, like the Nets without Durant are better than them, and I don't agree with that.
Right. Yeah. Well, without Durant, I mean, no. I mean, you're talking about a top three player. But I mean, as far as the Celtics go, you're going a whole season now without, you know, the Kyrie poison. As far as bad teammates, bad chemistry, like all this. So I feel like the overall vibe and overall storyline over the Kemba and Celtics are just pretty positive. So I think that factors into the season also.
Same, and I love the rookies they drafted. I love every rookie they drafted. I love Langford. I love Edwards, and I'm even excited to see Taco Fall. I mean, I don't know how he's going to fit in, but what rookies are you most excited about? Who do you think will get, like, the most time out of all three?
Yeah, Taco is definitely the guy that will fill in the seats for sure. I would love to see him be on the Celtics official roster and have him sit on the bench. But for me, I definitely love Carson Edwards. He's a guy from Purdue. You know, he stepped in. Big moments with the March Madness, getting 20-something points per game. I feel like he'll have – it's tough, too, with the Celtics. I mean, they already have a core 9-10 guys established as far as, you know, these are the guys that get the playing time. These are who's stepping in. You know, moments like with the Bucks, you'll have Semi step in. So it might be tough to see any of these four rookies play, but I'm really seeing something big out of Carson Edwards. With guard competition, I'm not sure how much he'll play, but I think he'll be in the mix as far as the roster. Grant Williams is a great guy, too, out of Tennessee, who's
oh, I love him.
Dominant. He can move the ball. He can do a little bit of everything. So it's tough because, you know, it's the same situation as last year. You just have a stacked roster. So how are you able to maintain all those roster spots, all those contracts, yada, yada, yada? It's just I would love to see big things from the rookies. I think they're fully capable of it. It's just they might not have time as much as everyone else does to shine in those situations.
I agree with you. I definitely think Grant Williams will get the most time just because he fits. He's kind of like a Draymond Green-esque kind of guy. Like, I'm not saying he's him, but like he has that same build. He does the same thing. He passes, right. Plays defense. And I think
he's
they really –
all-around player.
Exactly, and they don't have that at the forward position. But, yeah, they have that guy, Tremont Waters, who was another guy they drafted. I think you're exactly right. The time, it's going to be all up to Brad Stevens, how he wants to really mesh them together. And where I know he likes to use the different guards at different times and give people a lot of minutes. So we'll see. I think it's going to be a fun mix. And I think we'll at least know within the first 20 games who's going to get that minutes and who's not. You know what I mean?
Right. And there's always that one rookie for the Celtics that will always get cut or just be in Maine for a good portion of the year. So I would think we would see a bit of Carson Edwards. I think we'll see a good amount of Grant Williams. Tremont Waters, we'll see. I feel like he'd be more behind the scenes if he steps up in practice and all that. We might see some more of him. But him and Romeo, especially being the top 14 pick, he's a good forward. But it's tough right now, especially the competition for Langford. With Tatum, Brown, like we said, Hayward, just a bunch of those guys that are just going to eat so much minutes. Like, how can they step in? And it's just tough for them for their first year.
Yeah, it'll be cool to see how the lineups get mixed up. And just speaking of rookies in general across the league, outside of like Zion and RJ, who do you really think has a shot at winning Rookie of the Year?
Oh, I'm telling you right now, I'm buying high on John Morant. Him stepping into a Memphis organization with practically no one around, I feel like it would be a big role for him in his first year. Zion's tough, and I mean he's a great player, but he's stepping into a New Orleans role with, you know, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, another rookie, Jackson Hayes. I just think that the ball will be spread out in that offense, and although Zion will shine, I feel like he won't shine as much as, you know, like I said, John Morant, RJ Barrett, who's in New York. I am not sold in the slightest on New York. I think they'll be a bottom tier team. I don't think they'll do any good. Maybe RJ will get his. You'll see him in the All-Star break for the rookie showdown and all that. But I just think he'll be an average player coming in the year. And DeAndre Hunter from ATL, you know, you got him, Cam Reddish. You got Trae Young. You got a whole squad of athletic freaks out there. I just think that a bunch of these rookies will just get their average and just get theirs for now. But really the only person that has a role to step into and fill some big shoes early is Ja Morant. I think he's a lock for the Rookie of the Year.
I love that. I love the team they have. They really only have him and Jaren Jackson Jr. So it's a sophomore and a rookie really getting all the minutes. And then I like Atlanta a lot.
Yeah, Iguodala, but who knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he don't even want to be there.
No, not at all.
Yeah, he wants to get his buckets. And then I like Atlanta's core. I just think, like you said, it's just going to be so many people on the floor for them. With John Collins, Trae Young, it's going to be tough for Hunter to get his buckets, but they're exciting. They're exciting out of the East. They exactly. Could be an 8 seed, 7 seed. The East is a little deeper than it used to be. Thank God.
I have them jawed down as my 9 seed. Who knows? ATL is going to be going crazy. It's definitely a young fan base, and it's something I rave about, but who knows? I mean, it's going to be a big year for Trae Young. He's got to step up his second year. He's got to facilitate the ball. He's got to get his shooters open. It's just going to be a whole team game. This year's exciting, especially new storylines all around the league. I'm loving it. I'm so ready for this year. I think it's going to be a fun one.
And something I didn't put on the game plan. I'm going to replace the last topic with this. You're the first Warriors fan I ever met that was a real Warriors fan, like 5 years ago. Like you wanted them to like win the finals. We were in California. You were a big Steph Curry guy. How do you feel now that it's him and D'Angelo and Draymond for the first few months and no Clay? Do you see MVP Steph coming back?
Yeah. Let's just backtrack that. Let's get the story right. So I remember sophomore year back in the MC days. They were playing San Antonio that second round, and I had like $850 in my bank account, and I was so sold on spending the last of my money to go to California for one day to watch a Warriors playoff game. That was a thought that went in my mind. I had a text message sent to my dad saying I might do this. Literally just planning it out. I definitely wanted to go to a Warriors game back in 2013, I believe it was, 2013 playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, it'll be a good year for Steph, Clay, Draymond. I know Clay's hurt, but D'Lo, it'll be interesting because it's new. You have three good guards in Steph, Clay, and D'Lo. You know, Steph, this is his moment to shine again. You know, he has less of an all-star studded court, I would say. You know, you lost Boogie, you lost KD, Clay's out. So it's time for him to show what he's got again. I think he'll lay up the scoreboard with, you know, around 30 points per game. This is Draymond's time to shine too, not only for the rebounds again, but to be a facilitator, to be an assist man. That's part of the Warriors offense. You know, getting shooters open with screens and good passes and pick and rolls. And not only for that, I think it'd be good for D'Angelo Russell to shine too. You know, however they're going to do it, if he'll be the sixth man or if he'll be the shooting guard to start off, I think he has a system to learn and understand how this Warriors offense works. It's pretty quick. It's pretty fast-paced. It's a lot of shooting, which I think he'll do fine in. But just to understand that, you know, when Clay comes back, you're probably going to be on the bench. And just how are you going to work with the second strings and will everything go well? And I hope it will, and I believe it will.
And I love that people are sleeping on them because I have people like, oh, they're a 7 seed, they're an 8 seed. I'm like, dude. Like, what's going on, man? Like, it's crazy how people sleep on them.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy, but it's understandable because you got a tough West out there. You got both LAs. I still believe in Portland. You got a bunch of teams out there that will compete now. And although it'll be tough because they're already played with injuries first and just they lost a little bit of team chemistry, I still think they'll be like a, who knows, like a 5, 6, 7 seed. But I agree with that. I think it'll be a little bit of a tough stretch and some growing pains. When they start the season and when Clay comes back too, I think it's going to be some stuff will be a little bit forced. But yeah, I mean they are a middle of the pack team now. You know, LeBron, Kawhi, KD, AD, they're all kind of unstoppable, and you got to give them their respect.
I just pity whoever has to play them in the first round. Like if it's the Nuggets, I mean I like the Nuggets a lot, but imagine like the Nuggets having to play the Warriors the first round. They must be like, Jesus Christ, like how do you get stuck with that? That's how deep the West is, though. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think any first round game will be a good game to watch for both sides.
Yeah, and there's no like the West is going to be such a fight. Like there are going to be teams who are the 8 and like I don't see the Spurs making it into the playoffs this year, but like we've never seen them not make the playoffs. Like that's how crazy it's going to be.
Exactly. Yeah, we're still accustomed to Pop. Yeah, it's just who knows. Like I said, different storyline. You got a bunch of different stories coming at once, and it's just all gonna flow into one pattern.
And speaking of like seeding and how things are gonna turn off the playoffs, who do you think? Who are your top 4 seeds in the East? And I know you said the Celtics are in there, but what are your top 4?
Yeah. So I got 3 of the top 4 in my mind from the Atlantic Division and the top 4 for the Eastern Conference. I think we'll see some sort of combination of the Sixers, the Celtics, the Bucks, and the Nets all hit being in the top 4. I know it's tough with Kyrie without KD right now, but, I mean, the Nets still have a team of, like I said, athletic freaks, rebounders, fast-paced young players. I think they'll work their way into the 4th seed with a happy Kyrie, which I think does matter for a little bit. However, I think we see from 1 to 4, I think the Sixers will top it off. I just see them being a complete team. I know everyone says this every year, but I do see Ben Simmons progressing as well as Embiid. I think Embiid is one of the best centers in the league, and I think he'll show it this year. And not only that, I think you're going to see Al Horford. You know, he'll be a great teacher, a stretch four that can facilitate it, have Embiid stay in, or you can flip-flop it. However, I do like Horford inside. You did lose J.J. Redick, but that's okay. I still think the Sixers will be a number 1 seed. And then you have the Celtics close behind, you know. Either by a game or two, but it'll be competitive, and I think those two will tough it out for a good portion of the year. Those will be great matchups, Sixers and Celtics. However, I do see the Bucks regressing a little bit. You know, with the strong West, you do play those teams twice a year and a decent East. I think teams have learned how to stop Giannis more so and are able to cover those 3-point shooters. I think they'll be still a good team, obviously, but it's just we haven't seen that many 1 seeds repeated since LeBron James, so I just don't think the Bucks would be there anymore. And then I just see the Nets rounding up the top 4 with, a competitive East, but I just think that those 4 teams are a lock for top 4.
I agree with that. I like the Nets a lot at the 4, but I think I love the Pacers once D'Lo and Brogdon Depot and Brogdon get to play together. I think that's going to be really cool. They get Sabonis there. But, yeah, I don't see anybody beating Philly out for that 1 seed. They're just too deep. I mean, their lineup is just crazy, man. I'm so mad Horford's there, but the defensive presence is just going to be off the chain.
Yeah, it's going to be silly. And hopefully the Celtics can improvise in there on their low post defense and offense. I know those are two issues they need to work on, but I think everywhere else around the court, they're pretty strong, and you're going to see some stuff that you didn't see last year. They're going to really shine, really.
Oh, yeah, dude. I can't wait for the NBA season. I really think it's going to be the best season in the NBA. Like, we might ever see. Like, we've never seen this many good teams at once. Like, everybody's got almost two stars or more.
Exactly. Dude, every season's been getting better. All this free agency stuff, I'm not sure if it's the analytics or whatever, but, you know, you got Russ and Harden, you got LeBron and Anthony Davis, you got Kawhi and PG, you got Damian Lillard with Whiteside and McCollum. I love the Trailblazers. And, you know, you got the Sixers, Celtics, like we said, Bucks, Nets. You got the Heat with Jimmy Butler, whether you like that or not. That's pretty cool.
I like that. I love Jimmy.
I feel like the Hawks are something up and coming too, whether they're a story now because you like Trae Young or whether there's something in the future. The front office is doing some great stuff back there. So I'm really looking forward to this year. There's half the league is interesting and good teams so far. So you can't knock on that.
Oh, yeah, dude. Then you get teams like the Jazz who just got better. The Nuggets are still just as good. They had a pretty good draft, I thought. It's just so deep. Like, it's all going to come down to who stays healthy, and that'll end up rounding out the way the divisions go. You know what I mean? Because if Kawhi has a little bit of a limit during the season, the Clippers might slip. If LeBron doesn't play as many games, the Lakers might slip. But you still know in the playoffs that you don't want to run into either of those teams, regardless of the seeding. That's what makes it so dangerous.
Every round you're going to go in, especially in the Western Conference, you're scared of the opponent you're facing because you know that each team is one-upped each other. So we're going to get in there. Hopefully there's no injuries because, I mean, it makes the NBA more fun without any injuries. But it happens every year, and, you know, maybe one team might get knocked out because of injury plagues. But, you know, it's going to be exciting. I think every round this playoffs will be well-deserved and well-watched. And, you know, basketball is the up-and-coming sport. I think it's competing with the NFL right now as a top sport. So I'm loving the way it's progressing.
Oh, I completely agree, dude. And that'll wrap up this episode, my dude. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate you. I have to get you back on as soon as the season starts, once the Celtics get rolling. Thank you for coming on, bro.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I love to keep talking about basketball knowledge, especially my guy, Lou. I really appreciate it, dog.
Oh, hell yeah, bro. Hit me up. I'll talk to you.
All right, dog.
Peace.